cumbia de la
Take it away.
Welcome to Building Bridges. I'm Sebi.
And I'm Dave.
And this is a Eurovision podcast for the rest of us. So, it is only 2 weeks until Basel. Crazy. Actually, we're recording this on a Monday. And by the Sunday the next week, I'll be on the plane. So yeah, it's happening so fast now.
Yeah, I'm very, very jealous. I wish I was going for the full week. Why am I not going for the full week? What's wrong with me? What did it? Oh, right. Money and time off work. Crap. Yeah, if only those two things were unlimited.
Yeah, if only Moldova would still participate and we could have had a chance for Chisinau 2026, affordable Eurovision.
Hey, maybe we'll be in Albania next year and we'll have a nice, cheap, warm holiday for a week. That would be nice.
Yeah, and that is our topic. Today we will talk about what we think will make this Eurovision Song Contest special, what will make this Eurovision Song Contest unique and different from any previous edition. And yeah, I think, Dave, you just mentioned something very interesting. Albania is a contender for the win. Of course, it's still kind of a dark horse. Like, it's not like it's one of the favorites to win, but I think Albania winning would be historic, revolutionary as well. And I do think it. I could see it happening. I could see a possibility for it. And a surprise winner, or, you know, someone who was low in the odds, hasn't happened for a while now. So that would also be kind of unique and kind of cool.
Well, if you want a memorable Eurovision, if you're looking for something, I think the thing that would be the most memorable that nothing could beat would be if finally, after many, well, I know Portugal won in 2018, it wasn't that long ago, but if we got a new country, if they got their first win, somebody, that would be fantastic and would make, I think, the Basel edition even more memorable than it is already going to be, because there's enough things happening that will make this a very positive, very memorable Eurovision. But I think if we got a new country up on the winner's board, it would be the best Eurovision in years.
Who do you see from this year besides Albania? Who could do that?
Oh my goodness, I'm trying to think of the betting odds now. I don't think there's anybody. Is there anybody higher than Albania who hasn't won?
Adonis and Czechia are in sixth right now.
Okay, I could do a week in Prague. I wouldn't complain at that next year. Definitely not. Prague would be fun. Tirana would be fun. Yeah, anywhere warm.
Rimini.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to Rimini no matter what happens. I think Le Marche would have to break away from Italy and become a republic and then somehow enter Eurovision and win Eurovision before we'd ever see Rimini host Eurovision.
Didn't they confirm that Rimini would host if San Marino wins? Ever?
Yeah, but, I mean, come on.
I mean, it's the only option they have, right? What are they going to do? But yeah, I don't think that's happening. But again, you know, San Marino is a good point. You know, they are 19th in the betting odds right now, which is their current best result ever. So if they get any higher place, it would be historic for them.
It's a low bar, but I mean, it could. I mean, that beat is very infectious. You never know. Maybe people will pick up the phones and vote for it. We've seen weirder things happen.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's really interesting because we have Sweden with a huge winning chance right now. Austria is still in a solid second. France in third hasn't changed, but it's quite low percentage-wise, you know, odds-wise. But the rest keeps changing now. The places 4 to 10 have been changing this whole week. And I think we could look at a very surprising top 10 at the end of the final. Like, remember 2023 when it was pretty much just Lorraine versus Caria? And then, like, I think between place 9 and 15 were only like 8 points margin in total. I could see something like this happening again, totally.
Yeah, I would like a fun voting sequence without basically knowing who's going to win already. ESC Tom just did a fantastic results summary of the grand final last year and went into great detail, as he does, on all the data and why this might be happening. And he had some really good ideas. But at the end of, and I'll let anybody listening, if they haven't seen that video on YouTube, to go watch it because it's really good. But the point I'm trying to make is that he is right, because we've had these obvious winners after the jury vote. It kind of spoils what should be an exciting finish when we get the televote to come in, because you know only one, maybe two or three countries are going to win. You're not going to get someone who got 50 points from the jury get, 700 televote points and shoot up into first place. It's not going to happen. So it kind of takes a bit of fun away from it. So I think I'm going to add that to my list of things that would make 2025 special if we have a voting sequence that really, 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 the last 5, 10 minutes you're on pins and needles, you don't know what's going to happen, and multiple countries could win.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, think of 1988 when Switzerland won the last time. I mean, last year it was pretty much, Nemo got the first 12 points and then like 35 other 12 sets of 12 points.
It was over basically after San Marino voted, and they were what, third or fourth in the order? So yeah.
Yeah, but Celine Dion was, such an exciting voting sequence, and it was decided by destiny because it was decided by a draw, the running order, which was also the voting order. And yeah, maybe this is a small this is a Switzerland thing and we'll get that again. I would love that. I think, yeah, it's gonna be interesting. I have a hard time predicting the juries because obviously a lot of people think, Austria will be the clear jury winner. But somehow something tells me it's not gonna be as huge as Nemo was last year. And we could have Zoe Mei getting a lot of jury points. We could have Luan from France getting a lot of jury votes. I even think that Kai have a good shot at the juries because it's a well-produced, catchy song, very professional. It's usually what juries like. The Netherlands is a very well-produced, radio-friendly song. I actually think the juries are quite open. And then, if we look at the televote, there's so many acts this year that are trying to be like crazy fun standouts,
Malta, Finland.
Estonia,
Ugh.
Sweden.
Sorry, I love Estonia the country, but Estonia 2025 Eurovision, I just get this visceral ugh every time I think about it.
Absolutely. And I think this will actually be the what's the opposite of a dark horse? I think this will be the flop of the year because I see Estonia getting like 10th at best with the televote, maybe 9th, something like that, lower top 10. I hope the juries will put it extremely low. Like Estonia was last with the juries last year with a much better song.
Yeah, and he can't sing, so they should reward the level of, his singing ability and
Yeah.
keep it in the definitely the bottom half of the scoreboard for sure.
I
Assuming it
think this will.
qualifies, which it should.
It will, but I think this will do a kind of a like no rules last year where people thought, oh, this will really do well with the televote. And I think at like 30 something points with the televote at the end.
I feel like we're veering off topic a little bit and like analyzing,
Oh, it's gonna happen.
yeah, it
Yeah.
was gonna happen, but I don't know. Just comparing to last year, I feel like the quality overall was better last year. We had excellent singers last year, and we had a lot of just comparing to this year's songs, the songs last year were better, but we still ended up with just this little core of a couple of songs that really stood out and went to the top of the scoreboard. I feel like this year, even though we're still 2, 3 weeks away, overall the quality of the songs is lower, but we have maybe an expanded core of songs. Like instead of three, four, maybe there are seven or eight that I can see doing well with juries, well with televote. Like you were saying earlier, like these songs that are well produced, jury friendly. I think there are a few more of them. And that's why, even though we've got what Sweden today, as we're filming, is at 39% with the betting odds, you would think that's a slam dunk. I'm still not convinced, and I still, like, if you had a gun to my head, I wouldn't be able to tell you who's gonna win. I keep cycling between Sweden and you guys, Austria. I think you've got a good chance too. I don't know if the Netherlands can win, but I could see a strong finish there. Albania, the dark horse. I mean, if they put off a really good staging and convince the juries, I think they can get a high televote. They might threaten for the win too. I think there are more options, and because there are more options, I'm less sure than I was last year that it would be Nemo or Baby Lasagna, or the year before that it would be Loreen, and even lower, Katia. I never saw Katia winning, but it was nice to see them in the split screen at the end in Liverpool.
Yeah, and I have to say, I don't think that, the song quality alone decides how strong the edition of Eurovision is, because I think, 2012 had amazing songs, and we had very like I would say rather poor hosts, for example, and a lot of other things going on behind the scenes, which made it a less great year. I hope, Switzerland, I heard this is the second most expensive edition of Eurovision ever, like with the second highest budget after Baku in 2012. But this
Well,
time it is without the bitter taste that Azerbaijan had,
yeah, and there might be a good reason for that. Do you want to look at the interval acts?
Oh yeah, sure.
Like I've been taking notes. I've been trying to keep everything organized. They haven't revealed everything, and we're still getting bits and pieces. And I'm sure as soon as we publish this episode, they'll have announced something else too. So if we've forgotten anything, that might be why. So semi-final one, Sasha Jean-Baptiste actually in that press thingy last week kind of let it slip that there's going to be a big opening act, the biggest ever. They're going to have 45 artists and dancers on stage for the opening alone, and that's going to showcase different sides of Switzerland from the more traditional to the more modern. So we're going to open the show Tuesday night with a huge bang for sure before Iceland even takes the stage. And we've got a very interesting, very Swiss, I think, interval act planned for that evening. So we've got four former Swiss participants. And Sebi, you'll know the history better than me, obviously. So we've got Paula, who represented
Oh, yeah.
Switzerland in 1969 and 1980. And I think 1980 was cinema.
Cinema in 1969 was Bonjour, Bonjour.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
Buy on that, found on that one, but I know cinema. Cinema is very lovely.
Yeah, and she's a huge star, like not only in Switzerland, also here and also in Germany. Like she goes right with Michelle Hunziker and Hazel Brugger, like with our host, like she's on that level as well of
Okay.
Switzerland, so that's huge.
She seemed very sweet in the press conference. And she spoke a lovely German, which I understood, which made me very happy as well. So,
Yeah, she
glad
had
to
a
see her.
German TV show for like decades. It was called Verstehen Sie Spaß? Like, can you not get a joke, but like, can you take a joke? I guess would
Okay.
be the translation. It's like a prank show, but like it was in the 80s already, like very boomer type of pranks,
Oh yeah.
But it was funny. She was also the one who revealed it, and when people saw her face, they knew that they were being pranked on television. And she has a very famous meme, I'm sure everyone has seen it, where she's singing on some pillows on a couch and then she just drops down the stairs and is just falling down on the pillows. We might post it on our socials. That's also Paola from Eurovision.
Okay, I've never seen that. You'll have to find that one for us.
Yes.
Another legend, another Swiss legend, Peter, or Peter, I guess, Peter
Oh, yeah.
Heber, from Peter, Sue, and Mark, who went four times for Switzerland between
In four
1971
different
and
languages.
1981 in four different languages. I don't know where Sue and Mark are, but I guess they got Peter, and that's fine. I hope they're not dead. I don't know.
Who is not for sure? I'm
Oh,
like,
that's good.
I'm not sure about
That's
Mark.
good. Luca Hänni, which I'm excited about, fourth place in Tel Aviv, so that should be fantastic. And John's Tears, who I will not comment on very much, but he will be there as well. So there'll be four of them doing some medley of past Swiss entries. I'm sure their own songs will be in there, but others as well. So Semi 1 is looking good. Semi 2, details are coming out slowly. It looks like we've got a slew of artists that were involved in Eurovision 2020
Yes,
coming
this
back. Yeah.
we need to discuss because there's so much rumors about this on TikTok as well. Apparently, they're getting all the artists that were, again, it's just rumors right now. I think only a few of them have been confirmed, but apparently they're getting all the artists that were supposed to be at Eurovision in 2020
Yeah, well,
and didn't make it.
three have been confirmed so far. So Effendi from Azerbaijan, The Roop from Lithuania, and just today, Destiny was confirmed from Malta.
Yeah, but I don't
So
mean those because they got a chance again in 2021. They got to come back. I heard that those who didn't get to go to Eurovision
yeah.
coming as well, like
Which would
Ulrike, like Damir Kedjo, like
that would be incredible.
that
What
would be
is
amazing. Yeah.
what like an incredible interlock, but also so sweet. And
Yeah.
no one since 2020 thought to do that, to bring them back. That would be very interesting if
Why
they
didn't
didn't
they
do
do
so
that
with
in
Destiny.
Rotterdam? That would have been.
I guess they didn't in 2021 because the COVID rules were still really strict and travel was still fairly. That makes sense. Torino, the Italians probably didn't even know
I
2020
think
happened, so they didn't
Sweden could
bother.
have done it last year because Sweden gets to host like every 3 years anyway. They don't
Yeah.
need their own acts to present, you know? Like.
Although if we had lost, what was that interval act called? We just love Eurovision too much. For that,
No,
I would have been pissed. That was a really
but
good
they
one.
could have scratched Benjamin Ingrosso and let, you know, the 2020 artists perform. You know, at least.
I didn't mind him as much. Maybe the tribute to Martin Österdahl could have been cut.
Well, that for sure.
That was that, by
That
Saturday evening. That was just really creepy.
was the worst timing, you know, not even the interval act itself, but also, you know, tension was rising. And I was like, on Friday, we were watching it, and we were like, are they
Well,
really gonna put
they
these
booed
people?
Martin Friday night in the arena, so they had time. They should have known to cut that and replace it with something else, or just make the show shorter. Anyway,
Yeah. Anyway, we're drifting away.
we are
But you
here.
know,
There's too much to talk about.
even the opening in the first semi where they had Fureira and Erik Saade and who else? Janelle.
Yeah.
Like that was also so random. Like they could have also put, you know, 2020 artists that didn't make it to Eurovision.
I suppose. But anyway,
But I
so
don't think it will be all of them, you know. I don't see like
that'll be hard to do and very expensive.
Arilena Ara from Albania or Ben Dolic from Germany. I don't see them making it.
Basel doesn't have enough hotel rooms, so
Yeah.
they can't do that. So that's semi two. So semi one looking more at Switzerland, semi two looking more at more so the history of the contest. And then the grand final is going to be apparently themed on previous winners. So we're obviously going to get Nemo coming back with a new song. There's rumors Damiano David from Måneskin will be there. Of course, the big question mark last year was ABBA. This year it's going to be Celine Dion. I mean, I can't imagine she will be there. I can see at best some kind of video greeting or video message, which would be very sweet. If they could do something like they did with Karin Falk in Malmö, that would be really sweet. If she could interact with the hosts, I think that would be cool. But my guess is that's the best we'll get. I don't know about you, but that's my gut feeling.
Yeah, no, according to Swiss media, like they were in talks with her and she was interested at least, but like it's her disease, of course, you know, stiff man syndrome is really like she had to prepare for months or even years for that performance in Paris at the Olympics. So yeah, it would have been almost impossible. But yeah, I think, I mean, a video message would be nice. With
She's done it
Karin.
before. She did it with in 97 or 98, I think, for the intro.
97, yeah, in
Yeah.
Dublin. Yeah. But of course, that's been a while since. I think she has, yeah. No, but she was already a huge star then. So maybe. I remember, you know, in because we just recently posted our throwback to 1989, which was the last edition hosted in Switzerland. And the German commentator said, "Oh, here's last year's winner, who you surely have forgotten about by now again, Celine Dion, who didn't produce a single hit after Eurovision, and this will probably be her last performance
No,
ever."
just the massive song she sang to open the show that went on to sell hundreds of millions of copies around the world. But anyway,
That
somewhere in all of this, they haven't said where, apparently Jørgen Olsen from the Olsen Brothers, Denmark 2000, is going to make an appearance somewhere in all of this. Somebody else, yeah. And of course, the news that kind of struck a chord, I think, this week, also announced that in the final, they're going to give the artists their flag for the flag parade. Of course, this is the 12th time that they'll do that. But in the past, usually, like the artists bring their own flag, which I mean is kind of cool because it lets you be a bit unique. Like Ollie Alexander came out last year with that massive flag behind him, and other people like Angelia Mango just had like the little Italian flag at her side. So,
Well, then Nemo
you do
smuggled the
you.
non-binary flag, of
And
course.
then
That was
there's
the major thing.
that.
Yeah.
Then there's that.
That's
So,
the reason.
I picture something like Lisbon 2018, where they had somebody come out with the artist, kind of like a flag bearer, almost like at the Olympics. So the broadcaster will provide the flags this year, so the artists, I guess, can focus on what way to go and smile at the camera. They won't have to worry about bringing their own. Oh my. But that's 2025. That's the reality we live in.
Yeah, let's hope they get the country right at least, because our one of our top three TikToks pinned on our TikTok account is Carleen marching in during the flag parade rehearsal, and the background says Australia. So yeah, if they get the countries right, yeah, that would be nice.
But anyway, so all that to say is, if you're speaking, second most expensive Eurovision ever, I can see why, because bringing in all of these guests and all these dancers and Lord knows what staging and what props and whatever else that they're going to need, besides all the competing countries, all the other 37 countries. I mean, this is going to be a huge, huge show. And yeah, the costs can go up pretty quick, especially when they're in Swiss francs.
Yes, but also we have to mention that, Baku, the most expensive Eurovision, they built an arena from scratch, and they also, put workers from outside, from Germany mostly. So all these costs Switzerland doesn't need, so they really have the budget.
Well,
I
yeah.
think just for production, it will be the most expensive.
And speaking of which, have you seen any glimpses of the stage on social media?
They're doing their best to keep it hidden right now. I've seen a picture of a stand-in rehearsal for Cyprus, but I don't know if this was real or not, because apparently, he's on that big construction thing, climbing around that.
Yeah, I read that he's not gonna dance at all. He's gonna be kind of like a monkey, kind of like swing around on this construction and his feet won't actually touch the ground, which is
Oh my God.
if that's true, would certainly be something we've never seen before. But I mean, I can't
But
imagine the toll it would take on him trying to sing while navigating all these bars and moving around and
and he's like, I don't want to say he's a bad vocalist. He's good, but like he's not the one who should do these type of
No, but
things. He
anyone
should
would be
focus on
out of
singing. Yeah.
breath trying to do basically a gymnastics routine while you're being watched by 160 million people. I mean, it's not easy. But they've covered it up quite well so far. And I think it's a little late. Now, Eurovision this year is a bit later, but I know that by May 1st last year we had received the footage from SVT of the stage in action with the countdown, because we used that in our Welcome to May TikTok last year, so
Yeah.
it was already out. So I don't know if it's delayed this year or it's just because Eurovision, I think, is a week later. Like, I think the carpet last year was May 4th or 5th. It was earlier, so maybe that's why, because they're still doing the stand-in rehearsals as we speak. So.
Yeah, and also they are really trying to keep things more hidden, because like they had a lot of issues last year, and the artists will have more privacy, I guess. So yeah, maybe I actually like that. I think it would be cool because I remember, you know, my first Eurovisions, I knew the songs and then I tuned in the television and that was when I knew what it would look like on stage, you know. And now we have, you know, we've seen like three types of rehearsals and we know every detail is going to happen by the time we have the show. Yeah, I still would probably watch it, you know, just because I'm way too curious.
Of course, we can't resist. But I know a lot of fans and fan media are upset with the, like it seems like every year they take another little piece away. Obviously, our first Eurovision accredited was in 2022, and coming out of COVID, it seemed more natural that yes, things were a bit more restricted and there'd be less access. So I can't really compare to what it was like before COVID, but it seems like all of these rehearsals used to be open. They used to have people in the arena watching, even those very first ones that now we usually just get the little clips on YouTube or a few pictures. Even that this year, I think, is going to be reduced, and I don't think the fan media will get to see anything until the very first dress rehearsal Monday afternoon, thirty hours before the first semifinal.
Yeah, but I think that's good. You know, the artists need some time to get used to the stage and, you know, to get their performance, you know, perfected. And like, you
well, they have need... they have two rounds of rehearsals the week before, as yeah, well. Yeah. So it's not like they're stepping on the stage the first time that Monday afternoon, but...
No, but I mean before that, you know, before they used to let more people in, you know, fan media in to the earlier rehearsals, and I don't think they have any business there, you know, because they will record it, they will publish things, and then, you know, someone will have sound problems and they'll make a huge drama out of it. And I would say, you know, just let them get used to it. Let's just see what they're going to bring to the television performance and judge based on that.
Speaking of performances, have you been able to keep up with the pre-parties?
Yeah, I've kind of lost, you know, the touch of which was which, you know, which party was where, but I think I've seen everyone who was in any pre-party. I think we've heard everyone perform their song live now, right?
Georgia
was at the pre-party.
Was
Georgia?
She? Okay, I don't know. Israel?
Israel did an acoustic version somewhere. She didn't.
But wasn't that a pre-party? No. Okay. Yeah, you would know better than I would. I want to thank Eurovision Spain for publishing all the performances on their YouTube channel. That was really helpful. I think the Madrid party seems to be like the party to beat every year anyway. I know Amsterdam is usually quite large and kicks things off, but I feel like Madrid is usually towards the end of this, or like this year, the last one. And by then the artists have met a few times and they're more relaxed and they're carrying on and having more fun with each other. Like, I think the highlight for me had to be when Mariana Conte was almost finished serving. And Kai come out with those exercise balls that she bounces on at the end, and they all start doing the dance on the balls. Like, that was fantastic. Like, that probably wouldn't have happened, it didn't happen in Amsterdam, but I can't see that happening then, because they probably would have just met each other. But by now, they, you know, they've been talking and they've met a few times, so you get more of these fun little instances, I think.
But she had another performance where... JJ and Sisal and I think Gojo came out as well on the balls. I don't know where they were.
It's so funny. When we had Annie on, we were talking about Malta. That was my biggest critique, was that, like, I hope she drops the ball thing because nobody looks good bouncing up and down on those exercise balls. And it's like she's doubled down. And, like, for sure, those things will be in Basel. Like, there's no way.
Even in the music video, of course.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure. Oh, well. I can't be right 100% of the time.
No. but, I mean, Malta, we knew since day one, you know, what it would look like. And I think I'm... that's what I said after we recorded our semifinal prediction, you know. Imagine we talked about the countries which would be eliminated in the semi, and nobody even mentioned Malta at all. You know, usually Malta is like, oh, televote out. And this year they have a really good chance. I'm not saying they're like 100% sure, but I feel, you know, they'll be good this time.
Oh, I think so. I think, well, her vocals alone deserve to go through. But yeah, I think, what was I going to say? But besides the audience screaming cunt and the EBU trying to block that out, it's a fun performance. It's meant for televote. Like, I don't think the juries will get behind this very much. And of course, with 100% semifinals, I think she'll sail through quite easily. Sissal, again. Lovely job, fantastic job in Madrid. And I liked Sara Alto as well, who came back and she did a medley of she did a medley of Quédate Conmigo and Zorra. And I liked it. It was really good. And that's on YouTube to watch as well. That's fun. And speaking of Spain, Melody, who I haven't been the biggest fan of. Now, I know she had home field advantage, obviously, the party being in Madrid, but I think she blew the roof off the place. She did a fantastic job. Well, she did a few songs, but in particular, of course, Esa Diva. It was spectacular. It's the first time I watched it and went, wow, I enjoyed that. So I don't know what's happened. If it's the revamp that Adam was talking about, maybe I finally get it. I don't know. But she did like a crazy good job last weekend in Madrid. And yeah, I think those would be my favorites well, those are the only ones I've seen. I've seen bits and pieces of the other parties online on social media, but those, like, in terms of full performances to be able to sit down and watch them, Madrid, because they put everything on YouTube, was the easiest to enjoy.
I think for me it was also Zoeme. I already said that in our review episode. You know, I was like, I always liked this song, but once I saw the first live performance, I'm like, wow, okay, this is gonna do really well.
Now, what party was that?
Amsterdam, I think, the first one.
Okay, because I watched her, because I love Voyage, and I watched her Madrid performance, and I thought she looked and sounded very nervous, and that kind of worried me a little bit.
Yeah, I think the Spanish fans are a bit too eccentric for this type of song.
But also,
Maybe.
like, this is the biggest stage of her career. Like, she's fairly new, she's fairly young. Like, she's been singing and songwriting for a while, but I don't think she's done anything like this before. So it kind of worries me a little. Like, when you plop her down on the Eurovision stage, like, I hope she can get past the nerves and have a good performance, because she could easily put Voyage top 10 with a good
Oh, yeah,
performance.
absolutely.
Did you have any other tops or flops from the pre-parties?
I think mostly my opinions stayed the same. One thing I have to say about Austria again is, you know, JJ has done a few live performances now, and I think, you know, pre-parties are one thing, but he was on Dancing with the Stars this weekend, and that was like a televised live performance, you know, made for television. And I'm starting to kind of lose the winner potential vibes because, you know, he sings it well, but I think what kills it is the final chorus where it becomes like sort of a dubstep beat all of a sudden. When I heard it the first time, I was like, wow, okay, this could be really well, but like, it's always been executed very poorly. I hope they have an amazing staging concept for this because otherwise it will just feel so random and a bit, you know, unnecessarily included that it might even cost them the jury points at this point because it felt so unnatural. You know, it was like a really good opera performance and then the last minute he's just jumping around, you know, and it
Well,
was like.
that was what I was going to say. Because he's not at Eurovision with the staging, obviously they're very limited in these pre-parties, and I'm sure on these
But
TV shows as well.
even the vocals were pre-recorded at the end, you know?
Right, and we'll see if he does that in Basel. But yeah, we hope that. And similarly, I found Kai a little boring without the staging, without the backup dancers, without the onstage Forest and Sana. When it's just the three of them singing it, like they're still fun and like the song is still great, but it was missing that extra, something that makes it deserve number one in the betting odds without the extra pieces, I think. So I was kind of shocked at that because I was watching it and kind of singing along to it when I saw it on YouTube and went, yeah, it's okay. And my other question mark, I don't know if you saw Red Sebastian at any of the parties.
I saw one of his footage.
What did you think it was as good as the Eurosong performance?
I think all of his performances are just okay, you know. I was never blown away by any of his performances, to be honest.
I think I figured out what it is because I love the song and like the music video is great and interesting and the studio version is great as well. He seems to have trouble connecting with the audience, connecting with the crowd. So he it's like he isolates himself on stage unnecessarily. And obviously I'm no critic, I'm no professional. I don't know how he would go about fixing that, but that's just the gut feeling I had with him that hopefully he can remedy because I hope it qualifies and it's going to be his birthday too, so extra crappy if he doesn't qualify from the
Oh my
semifinal,
God.
right? That'll be a horrible birthday gift.
Well, Jana Burcheska got engaged in the semifinal and then didn't qualify. I think, I don't know what's worse.
Has anyone checked on that? Did the marriage happen? Are they divorced? I really wonder what happened
Oh
there.
no, I looked that up. Maybe we get her on the podcast at some point, you
Yeah,
know?
for an update.
Or, yeah. But regarding Red Sebastian, it's really weird because he's like in seventh place to win, but in the semifinal, he's in 10th place and like almost on the same percentage as the 11th place. So I think this is kind of the Musti effect where it's either like a top 10 or a shock non-qualifier and there's nothing in between.
It'll come down to the staging, perhaps.
No, I don't think the staging was the issue with Red Sebastian. You know, I think it was fine. You know, the staging was what killed Musti last year for sure, and the vocals, which both are fine.
And most importantly, the vocals.
But I think, you know, Belgium, you know, like look at Vibe and Roar with Iceland. They're in the same semifinal. Their vocals are not perfect, but they have so much charisma that maybe they might steal, you know, take that place in the final from Red
I
Sebastian.
mean, I wouldn't be upset to have Iceland back in the final, but I think it would be tragic because I mean we've spoken to Seppe twice now. Like we know what a big Eurovision fan he is. We know like he's been manifesting this and working so hard, and he is looking at the odds. He knows what. Besides the fact that it would be tragic to not qualify on your birthday, that's one piece. But like, if he doesn't. He knows how high the expectations are. He knows how high he is in the betting odds. So if he doesn't even qualify, I think it would be like a double, kick between the legs. It wouldn't be his best day. I think it would be very upsetting. So I really hope he qualifies, and that the five that we predicted that don't qualify are the five.
Yeah, but I'm not so sure anymore about semifinal one. You know, if Cyprus does that weird gimmick, I could also see them being the
Oh.
shock non-qualifier.
And maybe
Again,
Teo
no.
will fall off the scaffolding and ruin the performance. Who knows? A lot of things can happen.
This is either going to look amazing or it's going to be a complete train wreck. There's nothing in between. This is.
No. But yeah, like I don't know, he hasn't done the pre-parties, has he? Teo?
No, that's why I'm
Yeah.
concerned. Also, the only performance we have of him is a lip sync. So.
From 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Oh my. Yeah. Oh, and I was going to mention Gojo as well, who in Madrid had, I don't know, maybe he was tired, maybe it was late, I don't know. I just found that he had a bit less energy than normal, and he only got the crowd really like in a frenzy at the end when he took his shirt off. So I hope it doesn't result, like, I hope he doesn't have to resort to doing that in Basel too.
I don't really see Australia as a sure qualifier at this point because I had, you know, I was torn between Denmark and Australia for my, you know, for the sixth country that will leave us in semifinal two. But Sizal has the better vocals. Sizal has more charisma, I think, you know, maybe. Denmark will finally go back to the final and Australia might miss out again for the second year.
That would be unfortunate. I want both of them in the final.
I've noticed that, you know, the people who really like this are like mostly, you know, like either Americans or like you Canadians, you know, people who are native English speakers. And most of the people voting in Eurovision are not. And I think they don't really get the joke of Milkshake Man. I think they just, there's no connection to him.
No, it's full of euphemisms, which I guess you would need a higher level of English probably to get. Yeah, maybe.
And also, this is a song that can be staged really well, but also really trashy, you know? I was thinking this, you know, the chorus like, shake it, girl! You know, I could see, you know, them having, you know, Muppets on stage, you know, and like some crazy balls that will ruin it, you know?
Now, I'm guessing that van, that milkshake van, you know, from the music video, I think that's going to be there. Puppets, I don't know, but yeah, when the shaking starts, it's him. It's him moving his hips around, and he doesn't really have hips because he's so in shape and muscular. There's nothing to shake. So, I don't know. He can have me up on stage. I've got lots to shake. I can shake for him, but yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And that semi two is a lot tougher, so yeah, it's going to be a very nerve-wracking end to Thursday evening, I think.
Yeah, semi two is really puzzling. Like, this is my Roman Empire at this point. I'm like, who is going to miss out? Like, I'm pretty confident about Georgia, Armenia, Serbia, and Montenegro. And then there's two more spots, you know? I've been saying Ireland, but you never know. I think it is catchy. It stays in your mind. That's always good for televotes. We don't know how Luxembourg is going to do on stage. We don't know about Denmark. They're wishy-washy. Australia's wishy-washy. Malta, we already talked about. You know, Latvia and Lithuania. We don't know how they're going to do. Semi 2 is nerve-wracking. And even Serbia.
Latvia and Lithuania will get through if enough people pick up the phone and vote for it. They're so different. Those genres have their fans. So they've got to mobilize people to actually, you know, pick up the phone, vote for them. If not, well, obviously it's a televote only. The juries probably would have saved both if it was still 50-50. But
I think Lithuania especially is very safe because of their diaspora voting. Like
it helps them for sure. Yeah, which is why Latvia always struggles if you compare both.
Yeah. But like last year even, you know, Bambi Thug was like one of the, like the most, how do you say, the biggest, the Irish entry with the most publicity since the 21st century. And yet they didn't get the 12 from the British televote. Lithuania did, and Ireland only got the 10. I think Lithuania will always get the 12 from Ireland and probably the UK as well. And Latvia. So I think Latvia is on the fence. I think Lithuania is pretty safe.
They used to puzzle me years ago when I watched the old Eurovisions, and Ireland would give their 12 to Lithuania, and I'd be thinking, what the hell? Like, how is that even
or
possible?
Latvia.
Yeah.
I think that is, what year is that? When Aimea Quinn is announcing the points, I think it was 2007. And, you know, she's such a, you know, she won with such a beautiful, magical fairy song. And then she has to announce 12 points to the Pirates of the Sea from Latvia. But yeah, that's a different topic. Do we think Eurovision 2025 is going to be special? Is it going to be one for the history books? They're going to look back at in 10 years and like, oh yeah, 2025.
Well, there are some good things going for it. Obviously, like we mentioned, if we get a new country winning, it'll cement its place in the history books. But other things I thought of today when you asked me that question earlier, simply the fact that it's going back to Switzerland, where the whole thing began, almost 70 years ago. That is very special. We don't see this very often. It's only the third time they're hosting. And really, given that it was born there, it's only the second time it's been back in 70 years. So that's huge. We're fortunate to have tickets to the Arena Plus show in the football stadium next door. I think the only time that's been done was in Stockholm in 2016, where they had the arena next door full of fans as well. But I think this year they're going to do it a bit different with the hosts for the arena show separate and some extra musical acts like a pre-show. So I think that's going to be really cool. I'm really excited for that. It's going to be really festive. We have a mascot. I'm not overly sure this will cement a good legacy, or even make it special, but it will certainly stand out. We haven't had a mascot since 1992, and we've never had a furry androgynous
I was
thing.
going to say, I like the idea of the mascot. I think it worked really well in Zagreb, but when I saw the mascot, I was like,
It looks
let's.
so weird. And you know in the arena they're going to be selling little plush teddy bear Lumos, and they'll probably be in a box behind the stadium by the dumpster at the end of the night because no one's going to buy them. Oh, and like all the languages too. I think we're setting a language record this year. I found a blog. Somebody had done all the stats, which is weird because usually I'm the one that does that. But like really quickly, Albanian, Italian, Finnish, French, Georgian, German, Greek, Icelandic, Hebrew, Latvian, Lithuanian, Montenegrin, Polish, Portuguese, Serbian, Spanish, Swedish, Ukrainian. 18 languages there, plus English, which we often like is the default language. So 19 languages out of 37 countries, that's pretty good.
That's amazing,
And like imagine even last year saying, oh yeah, in 2025, Germany's gonna sing a song in German and Sweden's gonna sing a song in Swedish. You would have laughed.
even this year when we had Karin on the podcast and we said, oh yeah, Iceland is sending something in Icelandic, Sweden would never do that, ha 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 ha. And then like 3 weeks later they did. Little did we know.
Yeah. And I think the most special thing about Eurovision this year is that you are missing Jan and I will reunite, even if it's for a day. We will unite by music and we will come together and all those other cliches, and that will be very special too. So it's going to be the best day of the year.
All right, and that's the best final word we could have hoped for. So, if you agree with us or disagree with us, let us know in the comments and tell us what you think is going to make Eurovision 2025 unique, special, and different from anyone else. Don't forget to leave a review if you like our podcast. We are at Building Bridges Pod on all the social media platforms, and our website is buildingbridgespod.com. And say hi if you're going to be in Basel, because we surely will be. Bye bye.